Hi, I'm Heather DeRose.
I'm Antonio DeRose.
And this is the Greenhouse Healthy Podcast. Thanks for joining. We'll be discussing plant medicines along with fitness and wellness for ourselves and our planet. Today, we're talking with Anna Simmons. Anna is the Director of Education for East Fork Cultivars, running the CBD Certified Educational Program, which has directly taught cannabis science to thousands of people, including the staffs of more than 100 Oregon dispensaries. Anna holds an MA in communication and is an active athlete competing in the USA Rugby Women's Premier League. As an athlete ambassador for the nonprofit Athletes for Care, Anna advocates for plant medicine rights, education, and research. Welcome, Anna. Thanks for being here.
Thank you both. It's great to be on.
Thanks. Can you tell us a little bit about what made you choose to play rugby and how long you've played?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it was one of those things that kind of found me, like so many wonderful things in life. And I started playing my second year of college. And I had actually gone out west. I went to a year of school in upstate New York. And then I went to go back that fall. It just didn't feel right. And so I just withdrew and took an internship at a national park in Colorado, actually, Southwest Colorado. Had to be there pretty quickly. And so I just, you know, packed up my little car, drove out there, and then connected with people there, and really loved it so much that I decided to stay. So long story short, the people I'd met who would become some of my very best friends in life were rugby players. And they had just started a women's rugby team at the school. And I was like, I'll just go to this college. It's here. It'll be fine. And it was. It was great. It was wonderful. And so, you know, I'd been an athlete my whole life. I played soccer. And I had started doing that at the new school that I'd transferred to. But, oh, that's funny. What a beautiful design on that. And I just clearly got all these messages that it wasn't something I wanted to keep doing because it didn't feel good. The program didn't feel good. The people involved didn't feel good. But I was so wedded to this idea of being a soccer player. And then it was strange because the instant I tried rugby, I was like, where has this been my whole life? This is way more suited to me as you know, just my temperament and my athletic expression and my strengths and all those things. And so it was just like, it was kind of true love.
That's awesome. And so did you incorporate plant medicines while you were playing? Can you tell us a little bit about your journey with that?
Sure. Yeah. It took me a while, especially because rugby, I don't know if you know, but the traditional culture around rugby is, a very drinking oriented one. And that just has to do with sort of the origins and the social history of the game. And so I, you know, first used cannabis when I was like 13. So we're talking over 25 years ago. And so I was not unfamiliar with it, but as you yourselves may have experienced, there's a stigma around athletics. And especially when you're kind of growing up, it was very weird. It was like, don't do that. That's a drug. And only the druggies and the burnouts do that. And the bad kids. And, you know, you don't want to be like associated with that or pulled down by that kind of attitude. And yet it was just perfectly acceptable to binge drink and vomit and all these other things. Right. That was like, oh, everyone does that. That's normal, but don't smoke pot. So there's some weird messages, throughout, you know, junior high, high school at that time. And then, what a cutie. And so then it was really, it really was for me more, I guess you'd say recreational. It was something that I did for fun and enjoyed with my friends and had, experiences, you know, great experiences with, but I didn't necessarily connect to as the medicine that it is, until later on. And really in only probably the past 10 years or so, which, you know, might sound like a while, but I've been playing for like, this is my 20th year. So, you know, when I was young, of course you beat your body up a lot. You recover a lot more quickly. You think you know a lot, you really don't know anything. And so, as I got older and I started having some of these accumulated injuries that just, you know, they're never the same again. The scar tissue that sticks around and the things that are different about your body. Then you start to really, at least I started to listen to my body more. And part of that was that I realized I didn't actually like drinking. I thought that I loved it. I thought, oh, this is fun. This is something, you know, that's so me. It's funny because it was the opposite. And, you know, not to demonize anyone's choices there, but for me, that was something that I was very happy to naturally let go of from my life. It wasn't giving me anything. It was only taking. But what I realized was that cannabis was giving to me. It was giving me good rest. It was giving me rejuvenation and a good appetite the night before I needed to play. The ability to sell, relax, laugh, connect with my teammates, and do all these things that are therapeutic. As well as evolution for me to understand that this was medicine and using it had been medicine all along, but to get better and more mindful about that.
That's awesome. And then can you tell us a little bit about your journey? You are a plant-based athlete. Can you explain a little bit about what that means and your journey along those lines?
Yes, I would love to. And thank you both, because I know that you both are as well. That's something that brings me a lot of joy. You know, some people will use the word plant-based. I really love the word vegan. I'm vegan. Plant-based can be a diet that someone is on, or a way that, you know, they're consuming food in the world. And then vegan, of course, is, it goes beyond that to a belief system, which is at its core anti-oppression and anti-suffering, anti-slavery. It's about compassion for all living beings to the greatest extent possible. So for me, becoming vegan was something that made me feel spiritually whole. And I feel that it was a step in my physical wellness journey, but it was also something that, you know, those things, you can't necessarily separate them. How you feel, your spirit, your mind, your emotions, your heart, and all these things. And to tie it back to the sports piece, to me, rugby and athletics in general, at its best is what it's meant to be. It's play. It's an expression of joy and creativity and connection with others and really just playing and doing that thing that we, you know, one of our greatest experiences in the universe, really. So for me to connect all those pieces with plants, medicine, whether it's consuming cannabis in different forms, or medicinal mushrooms and fungi and other plant medicines. That's no different than food. The food that we eat and what we fuel ourselves with and what we make our physical cells up out of and the choices we make about how that reverberates through the world, that has enormous power for how we feel and how we're present in the world. So yeah, so it's really meaningful to me. And I really encourage anyone who feels interested by that to look into it more and to look into the health benefits for you, the environmental benefits for our planet. And of course the plight of animals, which is that they live in this human controlled world. They have nowhere else to go, and they are powerless compared to us. And what we can choose to be, the systems we can choose to participate in or to not participate in, where we put our money and our attention and our energy, and really understanding that there isn't a material difference between a human mind and heart and an animal mind and heart.
Well said. That was amazing. Like, I mentioned all of that and explained the difference, you know, between plant-based and vegan as well for people that may not know that much.
How long have you been vegan?
Can you believe it's only been 3 years?
Same here.
Nice. It'll be 3 years in September.
Yeah.
Yay!
And I never thought that I would. I mean, we are from the Midwest, so I know, like, if my mind can change, anybody can, you know, like, learn more and, you know, change, think differently. You know, it's better for your health, the environment, and especially athletics, I've found. Do you find that it helps that as well?
Yeah, I'm the healthiest I've ever been in my life by far. And there's so much information, good information out there about that if you want to seek it. It is, for us athletes, it is a little intimidating, isn't it? Because there's these things built up around getting protein, getting nutrients, your energy levels. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is experience it directly for yourself. And give it a good faith effort. You know, don't eat the vegan junk food, indulgence, but eat whole foods, real, you know, whole, like, nutrients, and give it a good 30 days at least, and see how you feel and see how your body reacts. Because I can, you know, I could feel the difference immediately, and my energy levels were more stable than ever.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, I feel the same way, especially like energy wise. Like, I feel lighter, I feel clearer in my head. Mm-hmm. Especially, I do want to touch on something you said. So you mentioned medicinal mushrooms. Is there anything that you have to share, whether it's your experience or your thoughts about using different medicinal mushrooms?
Absolutely. So I'll just say, I love mushrooms. They are these marvelous creatures. You know, they're not quite a plant. They're not quite a, you know, they're this very, very interesting life form. And they can do so much. They do so much in our world. One of the things they do really well is nutrition, delicious nutrition. Some of my favorite food edible mushrooms are oyster mushrooms. They make amazing tacos. You just saute them with a little olive oil, but there are, and, you know, portobellos. Oh, I mean, like, that goes on. And so again, food is medicine, and that is medicinal. But then we have some of the very potent medicinal mushrooms, reishi, cordyceps, and similar, lion's mane, as well as psilocybin mushrooms, magic mushrooms, which I don't know if you've heard, but here in Oregon, we actually have a ballot measure, Initiative Petition 34, that we are collecting the last signatures for to get on the ballot this fall, which will legalize psilocybin-assisted therapy in Oregon. So that's really exciting. I've been involved with helping collect signatures for that and spread awareness around it. Yeah, it's obviously harder right now, you know, because of quarantine and everything, to get those signatures. You can't just, if we could have still been in public places just collecting as people went by, this would have all been settled like months ago. But instead, that last bit, we've had to have people printing out the form at home, signing it and mailing it in. So there's a bit more work, but really it's worth it. And what this will do when it passes this fall is explicitly legalize a framework for psilocybin-assisted therapy, which is a little different than places that have simply decriminalized. Mm-hmm. And decriminalization is important. It's, you know, it's insane to criminalize our plant medicines that heal people. It's just wrong in principle, and it causes a lot of harms in practice. But even going beyond that, this would be the first law that explicitly puts psilocybin mushrooms into the law, instead of just saying, decriminalizes, like, okay, you can't arrest people. This will be the first one to say, this is medicine, and it puts that framework out there. And so that's an exciting step. And I'm really looking forward to the ways that that will reach people it hasn't been able to before and help people.
Awesome. I actually saw the initiative and I've been sharing it on social media to try and get people that I know in Oregon to try and show up and sign.
Yes, well, thank you so much.
Sign at home. That's cool. Right. Home like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and if you don't have a printer, it can be a little tricky, but you know, I personally drove to somebody's place and dropped one off on their doorstep. So, you know, we'll get you one. If you're listening to this and you're in Oregon, you need a sign.
Thank you for the work you're doing. That's really important.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about your education work with eSport Cultivars and what they do?
Oh, yeah. So I'm director of education for eSport, and we are a CBD-focused craft cannabis and hemp farm in Southern Oregon, a small family farm started by two brothers who began as medicinal growers for their other brother, Wesley. And Wes Howard has since passed away due to complications from his illness, but he was born with neurofibromatosis, which is a genetic condition that gave him very severe symptoms, including epilepsy and tumors throughout his body, a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And his brothers wanted to do everything they could to alleviate what he was going through with his condition and his life dealing on the daily with all these things. And at the time, CBD was much lesser known than it is these days. but what they had found through that firsthand experience was having CBD-rich cannabis that was balanced with THC gave kind of the ideal therapeutic profile for him. So it gave him the most relief without impairment. And so he could still function well because he needed a lot of relief for what he was dealing with. So, you know, they basically said, this is really good medicine. We need to bring this to everyone because it wasn't as widely available. There weren't a lot of choices and you couldn't always find the same thing again. And so they said, let's start a whole farm based around promoting the CBD and breeding for high CBD, as well as, of course, THC and all the other beautiful components of the plant in different ratios, different terpene profiles, all of these lovely things. And so part of our mission around that is empowering people to understand how their bodies work and some of the new data that we've got about CBD and how specifically it works in the body. So I get to teach people about that, which is a lot of fun. And it's a challenge because there's always new research coming out. Mm-hmm. So I get to stay up on that stuff and share it with other people and to hear their stories as well, which is I'm really humbled to do and I'm really grateful for.
That's awesome. And you're a Athletes for Care ambassador as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Athletes for Care ambassadors, yes. So this is a nonprofit group made up of some retired, some still active, mostly professional athletes from all different sports and all around the world, coming together to join our voices to support the right to use plant medicine and to provide a community for one another. The CARE actually stands for Community Advocacy, Research, and Education. So those are kind of the pillars of what we're supporting and what we're working on. And it's been a really great group in that while we might have very different experiences in each of our different sports and leagues and backgrounds and lives, we share this commonality of finding amazing and unique relief through plant medicine, specifically cannabis, maybe also some other plant medicines many of us are interested in. But experiencing that relief and that betterment of life and very important healing is a powerful experience. And this is a group of folks who are just genuine that we need to share that with more people. And we need to let them know this is an option for them. And that even those of us who are asking a lot of our bodies, are finding that this is the best medicine. Mm-hmm. So kind of just sharing this powerful message we've experienced so profoundly at a personal level.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And it can really help athletes of all different kinds, you know, in their recovery or training processes. So really appreciate you talking about that.
I appreciate you guys too, because I know you do so much advocacy along those, you know, on the same team. So
thank you.
How did your journey with plant medicines begin?
Oh, well, how many lifetimes do you want to go back? No, just kidding. honestly, I think it started with my mom. Props to you, Mama. She is someone who's always been very connected with plants, had a huge garden, and grew a lot of our food, grew herbs. And she always had these horrible tasting tinctures, you know, especially in the winter. Take this astragalus, take this echinacea. Oh, you know, in the alcohol, right? Those tinctures, they are potent. They're good medicine. But man, when you're like a teenager too, you're just like, why? So I had some exposure to that, even though she didn't ever like lecture us about it. She was right on. Like mom knew a lot of stuff decades before, you know, some of the things we're talking about now publicly, we're starting to have discussions about, mom was already keyed in on. So I was really lucky to have that influence in my life around plant medicine. Interestingly, mom was like never a huge cannabis fan. She likes certain aspects of it now, but she's really sensitive, and so THC was a lot for her. Mm-hmm. My dad, on the other hand, has an appreciation for THC, always has. And so tip of the hat to you, Dad, on those, you know, some of those childhood memories where he'd be hanging out with his band, you know, they're playing music and they're smoked a cigar to keep the bugs away in the summer. You know, just some, you know, that sweet smelling. And right. And so, and also, yeah. And so I think my parents really, really held a beautiful space for me to grow into my awareness and understanding and sort of experiment and learn about different things without them being taboo or controlled. I think that kind of set the platform as to think independently, you know, and to not maybe not internalize as much a lot of the propaganda that's out there about plant medicines being drugs, being harmful or scary.
That's awesome. They provided that kind of environment. We were pretty much, or I was the complete opposite, and you know, it was totally not talked about. And I also do not consume, or I stopped consuming alcohol just because, you know, I felt that it was taking away versus cannabis helped provide things. So that's amazing. You didn't really have to overcome such a huge stigma like so many people.
Was there any sort of stigma that you faced during that process?
I mean, definitely still. Not really so much from my family. I mean, it's not like my parents were like, go smoke pot, you know, but they just, they're loving, but they're not super controlling people. They provide, you know, they provided healthy structure and all those things, but they definitely let me figure some things out on my own too, without like putting down the hammer. But outside of that family structure, there's still a lot of social stigmas that come up. Like, I grew up in New England, and you know, really rural, very small town, and everyone knows each other. People are in each other's business a little bit, and people can be very judgmental, you know, even though it's politically very liberal on the spectrum of mainstream politics. In small towns, that's how people can really be, is just judgmental, labeling, stigmatizing to one another in different ways. So there definitely was this feeling around, like, you know, good kids and bad kids, and you know, the good kids do this and the bad kids do that. And it was like the good kids could be drinking and having parties and doing all this as long as they didn't cross a certain line, you know, of getting into trouble for it to a certain level, but the bad kids, you know, smoke pot and or whatever else, right? So it did feel like there was social judgment, and then especially with athletics, that kind of intensified, where it was again that sort of like weird space around, like, again, alcohol being normal, okay, you know, just be like, be normal around it, don't have a problem, but party on the weekends or something, but like, don't smoke pot, you're gonna hurt your lungs, you're gonna fry your brain, all these things that we just know are materially not true. They're not facts, they're just, you know, propaganda,
right?
But
how,
yeah,
do you feel like cannabis helps you as an athlete?
Well, it's a really great medicinal herb for recovery, number one. So healing in terms of anti-inflammatory benefits, pain relief, relaxation, you know, whether that's like getting good sleep is huge. And for me, that really, cannabis really promotes and supports that. Also, I'm not getting any younger, and I am still playing rugby. I just turned 39. And so, you know, the body takes a lot of effort these days to keep competing at the same level that I have. So pain relief is a real thing. A lot of chronic stuff hanging around that that cannabis just soothes the best. And I've been prescribed muscle relaxants, you know, painkillers, opioids, steroids, you know, hardcore anti-inflammatories. Cannabis does a better job and does it more gently and elegantly. And it really just supports the body's natural processes and allows, so not only that recovery to then come back fresh and train again hard or compete again, and sort of supporting and accelerating the healing, but it also helps with before competition, with dealing with the anxiety or nervousness. For me, when I feel like that, it's hard to eat enough and eat like the proper amounts. And so it just supports relaxing before a game, getting good calories in, getting plenty of them, and getting great sleep, which are all the ideal conditions for optimal competition. So it's helpful before and after. Some people I know find it helpful during, and they are wonderful. For me in rugby, I need to have a bit of an aggressive edge, and cannabis will kind of soften that for me. Oh, you have the ball. It's your turn. Let's share. You know, so for me, not so much during, maybe unless it's a microdose. I've done that a little microdosing edibles, which can be great, but mostly before and after. It's just a great support.
When you say microdose, what route of administration are you talking about, and what is a microdose for you?
Yeah, that's a great way of phrasing it for me, because as we know, dosing with cannabis is very personal to your own body and the sensitivity of your receptors, which is just genetic and doesn't really have to do anything with like being tougher or not, you know. But for me, a microdose, I specifically found a chocolate that I like that is tasty, vegan, obviously, delicious, and it's a 1-to-1 ratio of CBD and THC, and I would eat a piece that was about a milligram each of those to get. So, you know, that was a kind of a good spot to be, where like it's promoted me getting into my flow state, but it didn't hamper my my normal aggressive capabilities within the sport. It really just supported and enhanced my play at that level.
Nice. And do you have a preference on consumption method?
Well, these days with COVID and the lungs is a little tricky. Generally speaking though, flower is my preference. That is full spectrum by definition. You really get the wealth of everything the herb has to offer us. I like to smoke a joint. It's a traditional way of consuming, and it's very easy to self-titrate, or to know, like, you just know when you've had enough. You're like, oh yep, now like you just smoke until you're like, yep, here we go, that's the spot, you know. And it might just be like a little bit, and it might be the whole joint, who knows. And it's also, that can be very social, and I have great memories with teammates, you know, sharing that. Now, with COVID happening, I have been a little more protective of my lungs just in general. Mm-hmm. Cannabis smoke is not overall harmful to the lungs. There's good data about that. It's not carcinogenic in the same way that cigarette smoke is, for example. But inhaling anything with that kind of like particulate matter can be irritating to the lungs. So in this time where we're all kind of trying to just have strongest as possible lungs, it's like, okay, maybe I'll go a little harder on these other things, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really like tinctures, capsules, different edibles. There's a lot of delicious vegan ones. Mm-hmm. And I guess it just kind of depends on what's needed at that time, which is great that we have so many options to choose from.
That's awesome. And is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience? We covered so much. You do such amazing things.
Oh, thank you, Heather. So do you both.
Thank you.
I just want to say thanks for having me on and having the chance to talk about plant medicine. I think what the work that we're doing, you and I, both of you, me, all of you out there listening, our work right now has to do with a lot of healing. Healing the world, we have a lot to do. Mm-hmm. And that starts with healing ourselves. It really, truly does. Mm-hmm. And so to discover and begin to access these plants that truly are medicine, medicine on every level, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, that's powerful work. That's big healing. So thanks for doing this work with me. And I just want to invite anyone who feels like that resonates with them to reach out, to join us, and feel free to ask questions. You know, we would love to have you along.
Amazing. Very well said.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks again. Yeah, for sure.
So thank you for listening to this episode of the Greenhouse Healthy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform and follow us on social media at Greenhouse Healthy.